Anybody ready to change your sound today? Anybody ready to change your sound? All right. Anybody else in the house want to change your sound? All right. How many know that God is changing our sound? When our sound changes, our environment changes. The Word of God is very clear that says that when we praise the Lord, that He inhabits those praises. He shows up. His presence is revealed in the praises of His people. So when our sound begins to change to a heart of praise, when our sound begins to change and we say, even though I am going through challenging times of my life, I am not going to let the song of the Lord come out of my heart. I'm going to let it come out and I'm going to sing it out anyway, as we talked about last week. Sing out through our pain, sing out through our trial, and see what God does. He takes that time and He multiplies the dead things that have been dead in our life. Brings life where there was no life. It's amazing what happens when our sound changes. As we shared last week, that we're quickly coming to an end of the series, not because we don't have any more to speak. I've actually got a lot to speak, but because I believe I got so much to speak, I'm going to start a whole new series called The Power of Your Words. We just been on praise. We haven't even got to the worship part, really, and or to the words. And so I'm going to do another series here in the next few weeks on the power of our words and how when we speak, things change. There's power. God has always anointed our words to have life and death, according to Scripture. So we're going to talk about changing our verbiage. We're going to talk about changing our language. And there's a really, have you ever heard of the name it, claim it? You ever heard of that phrase before? You know, it's kind of popular in charismatic churches, you know. You just name it and you can claim it if you really got the faith. Well, is that really biblical? We can look at Scripture and we'll back up and see, what does the Word of God really say about that? How can we do that in a way that really is biblically sound? So I don't want you just to repeat anything that you've heard. I want you to see what the Word of God says for your life and what it says about claiming the promises of God and when it comes to our words, the power behind that. So we're going to go right in and give you really the ammunition and the education of looking and dissecting what the Word of God says about the power of our words. It's going to be a fun series. But today, as we're getting ready to wrap this up, next week we'll be wrapping this up. Today I want to talk to you about, what does Jesus want you to hear? What does Jesus want you to hear? How many know that, man, I one of the great things about being involved in team activities when you're in school or in college is that I love the motivational speeches that come. It's just kind of an art form. Great coaches know how to motivate their players. Great coaches know how to step in at a game when the kids shouldn't win and get them thinking that they can win. Great coaches can come in at halftime when you're down and get the team to get re-energized, refocused, and go back out and win the second half. There's something about motivational coaches who can do that. I love that. And I've been a part of some teams when that happened, when I ran games we should have never won, but because the coaches motivated us and gave us some speeches that came and said, hey, time out, you know, you can do this, and really believed in you and spoken to you. Matter of fact, I love this movie, Hoosiers. Anybody like the movie Hoosiers? Isn't it a great movie? Anybody here like Hoosiers? Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Hoosiers. I won't do a lot, big introduction, but one of the greatest sports movies of all time, of course. And we see it based on the 1952 Hickory, Indiana team who went on to win the state championship, a really small town. If you don't know the story, in Indiana, the state championship is run by every school plays the same tournament. Nowadays, we know here, like in Missouri, you have small schools play against each other and big schools play against each other, medium-sized schools. But back then, it was like everybody was in the same tournament. And so it didn't make a difference if you had 200 people in your town or you had 2 million, you all played. You played in the same tournament. It didn't make no difference, okay? And so for a small school like Hickory, who just had a few hundred people in their town, to come out and to go to the national tournament and a state tournament and almost be at the semifinals, this was a huge thing. But they didn't even dream about making it to a state finals. And so here they are in the semifinals, thinking about going to the big house in Indianapolis and playing there. And I love the speech that Gene Hackman gives here. It's a great speech. Let's watch this real fast.
There's a tradition in tournament play to not talk about the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. I'm sure going to the state finals is beyond your wildest dreams, so let's just keep it right there. Forget about the crowds. the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
There's something about great coaches who can come in and give you a motivational speaker, makes you want to go out and fight hell with a water gun. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just ready to go. And so today, I want to talk to you about a time when Jesus came to the disciples, and now he has just been crucified, buried, and now all hope is lost. All hope is lost. They feel like he didn't come and establish his kingdom the way they thought. You know, now they're in hiding for their lives, thinking, are we going to be killed next? What's going to happen? He promised us all this stuff was going to happen, and now he's dead. And we're in hiding, fearing for our lives, you know, and something happens in this encounter with Jesus where he comes in, calls a timeout, and re-energizes them and says, hey, you have got a destiny waiting for you. Empowers them, and they go out and win the world for Jesus. We're here today based off of this motivational speech, okay? What happens here, this encounter with God, he comes in and changes the history of time. Yes, the resurrection and the crucifixion are huge, but this is just a big part as well because he came in and he put in perspective and re-energized the movement of Christ. And let's go ahead and see what Jesus did right here in this encounter. We're going to be looking in John chapter 20 in just a minute. But have you ever felt like you needed a pep talk? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like I just need someone to come in and call time out in my life and say, man, you need to get it together or you need to regroup? I love it because this is what Jesus does here. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel or giving up? Jesus knows how you feel. And he comes in and he goes right to the disciples who were discouraged. And he says, I've got a better plan. They thought he was going to bring a new government. Instead, they were now lost. They were scared. They were confused. They were living in fear. And Jesus shows up and he changes everything. Isn't it amazing? When Jesus shows up, everything changes. Such a strong testimony today. And the first thing I want you to get when Jesus shows up, that Jesus meets you where you are. Jesus meets you where you are. Let's go to the story in John chapter 20 and verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, whereat with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. And then Jesus came. Now, we could never read another part of this scripture. We could never go any further in the story today. And you should leave right now, energized, realizing this, that when you're living in fear, when you're living behind locked doors, that Jesus shows up in the middle of your fear. Jesus will show up in the middle of your storm. He will show up in the middle of your fire. He will show up in the middle of your chaos. And he shows up when we don't expect it. And he shows up in the middle of their fear. They're living behind locked doors. They're fearful. Are they going to be crucified next? How can they get out of town without being noticed? They're locked, the doors. And Jesus shows up and he stood among them and he says, peace be with you. Today, are you living in fear? Because Jesus wants to show up in the middle of your room today. It says the doors were shut. They were locked. And I believe today, this is so much true, that in our life, that many of us here, we have got shut doors in our life. We've got locked doors in our heart already. That you've had people who have hurt you. You've allowed situations to change you. And you said this very thing, I will never love again. I will never trust anybody again. I'll never serve again. I'll never give again because people have hurt you or you've been burned. And today I say, welcome to the club, because we've all gone through things like that in our life. We've all suffered rejection. We've all had people do us wrong. We've all been hurt by people, and sometimes even people in the church, sadly. even people in our family, sadly. And so we've allowed ourselves to become emotionally locked off. Some of you here today, the door in your heart's been slammed a long time ago. And you said, I'm going to keep it safe right here. And Jesus shows up in the middle of your locked heart, in the middle of your fear. He shows up and says, I got more for your life. As many of you said, no one will ever get close to me again. So the question I ask you today, who have you locked out of your life? Who have you locked out of your life? Who have you shut the door on in your life? Today, God shows up in the middle of exactly where we're at today. And the second thing he does, he gives us encouragement. We just read it in verse 19. Let's go back to that verse. After he shows up in their midst, look what he says. What's the first thing out of his mouth? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. What's he saying? Let me translate. He's saying, calm down. Chill out. He's saying, simmer down now. That's what he's saying to you and I. Simmer down. It's okay. Let the peace begin to fill this room. Calm down. You're in turmoil about what's going to happen. And he says, I'm speaking peace to you today. See, this was a big deal. And you say, Pastor, I know God gives us peace. Why is that a big deal? Because I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes, realizing this was the last thing they ever expected Jesus to say. Remember, he had just been crucified. He had just been beaten, had to carry his cross up Calvary's Hill. He even looked at Pete and said, Pete, you're going to deny me. Never I, Christ, never. He says, before the night's over, remember, you're going to deny me three times. So the fact that when he was taken away, what happened? They scattered, man. They were in hiding. They deserted him. And so the last thing they expected him to say was, peace be unto you. They're probably thinking the way you and I would think today, that he would step up and say, where were you, man? Where were you at? Why didn't you at least come for emotional support? Why wasn't you at least cheering me on? Why wasn't you at least trying to help me carry my cross? Where was you? You had to pull someone out of the crowd. That could have been you. Where were you? So we're living in fear. We deserted him. We ran and hid. We're living in fear for our life. Are we going to be next? Are we going to be killed next from our association with him? And the last thing they ever expect him to do is step up and say, I bring you peace. That is such a powerful statement when you expect to be condemned. When you expect him to come and condemn you, and instead he steps aside, I just bring you peace. It sets you free in your heart today, the knowing this, that God does not want to bring you condemnation, but he wants to bring you peace in your life. Today he brings peace and he speaks it over us. He didn't say, hey, Pete, where you been? What happened to you? Instead he says, I just bring peace and comfort in your life. See, he showed us that he didn't have an ounce of resentment. He didn't say, like I would have, where were you, man? Remember the time I fed you? Remember the time I healed your mom? Remember the time you had this and I supplied it for you? Oh, you're there for the good, but where were you at when I really needed you to carry me emotionally? I've only poured into you for 3 years. I mean, that's how we would feel, right? Naturally. But he doesn't have any resentment. He shows up in the middle of fear and says, I bring you peace. I bring you peace. Showing to them that I don't resent you. I do not condemn you. But instead, I bring you peace. See, nobody understands your greatest fears like Jesus. You think he doesn't understand fear? He's the Son of God. He wouldn't understand fear. Oh, he understands it. It says that his human side was so stressed about what was going to happen that while he was in the garden praying, saying, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Even so, I submit to your will, but if there's any other way, let it go. And it says he was so stressed that he actually sweat drops of blood. I mean, he understands fear. He understands that I don't want to face the pain that's ahead of me. What's your biggest fear today? He understands it. He understands how you feel. No one understands you like Jesus. I love what Philippians says in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says that we're to be anxious for nothing. Everything we do, we should give by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let the sound of thanksgiving come out of you. Let your requests be known to God. And what happens then? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. We know this today, that He is giving us peace to guard our hearts, peace to guard our minds, peace that passes all comprehension. It makes no sense that He would show up in the middle of their fear while they're hiding after all they've done in the last few days, that Jesus would show up in their midst and say, "I bring you peace." But this is exactly what our God does. He shows up and He brings peace. We got to change our sound today to learn to hear the voice of the Lord, which says to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what problem you're facing, no matter what you've done, that He brings the voice that says to you, "I bring you peace. And I speak peace to your situation." Peace unto you is what He said. And the third thing we see here, He shows us His love. He shows us His love. I love this passage. The next verse is John 20:20, of course. I like to say it like this. This verse really lets us see 2020 vision. Clearly, we get a really clear vision of who God really is in our life. This should open your eyes today and set you free. So He shows up in the middle of their fear. He speaks peace. And then what's He do? After He said the peace, this is what He said. After He said this, He showed them what? His hands and His sides. Disciples were what? Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were full of joy when they saw Him. This is huge, because He teaches up and He shows them His hands and His side. And He shows them the love that held them to the cross. He speaks peace to them. And then He says, "Look right here. You see this hand right here? See the holes in my hands? This is called love. You see the hole in my side here? This is called love. I did this for you. I endured this for you. I willingly stretched myself over the cross. You know I had the power to avoid this. But because, look at my hands, I did not avoid what was needed to be done. Because of my love for you, Pete, look at this. Pete, look at these hands. Pete, look at these sides. Pete, look how much I love you. I don't condemn you. Pete, I don't bring condemnation. I show you love." See, we're so worried that, "God, you're going to speak condemnation over my life." No, He says, "No, I love you. Look at the love. I speak peace to you. Look." He shows up in our locked doors. He shows up in our darkest hour. He shows up in our fear. And He shows us His hands of love. He says, remember the price that I paid. Look, I show you just how much." See, they had always heard Him talk about how much He loved them. He had heard them teach about how important it was to love. But now He was showing them love in action. See the pierced hands. "I love you. I love you this much. I love you this much. This is how much I love you." He was setting them free. They were expecting to be condemned. Instead, He brings peace. He shows up in the middle of their fear and locked door. And then He says, "Let me show you how much I love you." That says, set you and I free today. That says, set you and I free of realizing that God is not here to place guilt on your life. He's not here for you to live a guilt-ridden life or a condemning life. He has come to not condemn the world, but to what? Set us free from all guilt. Set us free from all condemnation, that we can realize through the power of His love on the cross that you and I walk in a grace that we cannot comprehend. And He speaks peace into our life in the middle of the turmoil and shows us His love. See, His love for you and I is not performance-based. We don't earn His love. We could never earn His love. None of us could ever be that good. We can never do enough good things. We can never earn the love of our Savior. But he says, I freely give it to us. That's grace. I give it to you anyway. Not because you stood up for me in the garden. Not because you helped me carry my cross. Not because you were there when I was being crucified. No, you were doing just the opposite. You were in hiding. Not when you denied me, but because I love you freely. Look at the love. Look at my hands. I don't bring condemnation. I don't bring guilt. See, that's the two things that will weigh you down more than anything in your life is guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment. So he comes to set us free of our guilt. And then he says, there is no ounce of resentment. We see no ounce of resentment in Jesus' actions or words. He doesn't come in and condemn them. He comes in and brings peace. He sets them free with his words, and he shows them their love. Today, you have no business walking around in guilt. God has set you free of guilt. He doesn't want you to walk around in guilt. He wants you to walk around empowered by the knowledge of how much he loves you, how big his grace is in your life. He wants you to be set free. In return, he doesn't want you to carry around resentment in your own life. He doesn't resent you for the person you used to be. But he sets you free. And he wants you to do the same. He wants me to do the same. Learn to let go. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive those who have done you wrong. It doesn't mean you're stamping your approval saying you're right. It just simply means, God, I am going to give them the grace you've given me. I'm going to learn to let them go. I'm going to quit harboring resentment in my heart. I'm going to quit harboring unforgiveness, and I'm going to learn just to release them and let them be in your midst. But he never showed up, Pastor. My dad was never there. Let it go. You don't know what he did to me. Let it go. You don't know what she did. Let it go. And say, God, you've forgiven me much. I'm going to release it now into your hands. I am no longer going to be a chain to resentment. I'm no longer going to be a slave to resentment or guilt. I am set free through the grace of God. And in return, he's allowed me to set others free. He showed me how to let go of bitterness. He shows me how to let go of unforgiveness. He shows me how to let go of hurt. They're hiding and they're planning their escape. And Jesus steps into the middle of the fear and says, I love you. What power, what power that he would step into the middle of their biggest fears and say, I love you. He steps in and says, Peter, don't give up. Because see, Peter was ready to give up. They're in hiding, ready to escape town, ready to get out of here. And he shows up and something happens. Peter's ready to give it all away and to run. And that encounter of God's love turns Peter's life around. And just a few days later, he gives one of the first sermons on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people are saved. He goes from denying Christ, ready to give it all away, throw it all away, and run the other direction, to standing up and saying, this is what's happening. Let me tell you about the love of our Savior. And 3,000 people get saved. It's transformation. See, when you get a grip and God, you see God showing up in your fear. You see God showing up behind your locked door. You see God showing up and you see the love that he has for you. You see the peace that he speaks over you. He says, I've got a plan for your life. Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the one, or happy is the one, whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord was what? Does not count against them. Isn't this awesome? Blessed. We're happy. See, you can be set free when you realize he shows up in the middle of your fear and says, I don't count your sins against you. See the love? See the price? See the grace? Would you accept me and my love and forgiveness? I give you this. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't live in guilt or shame. I have come to set you free. It's amazing. It sets us free. And it brings us to our last point. The fourth thing we see in this story, I love this part of the story, in John 2022, the next verse. He wants to fill us, is what it says. He wants to fill us, number four. And look what he did there. He comes in, shows up in the middle of their locked door, in the middle of the fear. He speaks peace to them. He shows them his hands. He shows them his love. And then look what it says. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, we got to realize today that he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit today. You need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit today. If you're a Christian, you need God's Spirit to fill your life every day. You need to be led of his Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to breathe in you. You need to allow the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to change you, to shake your world, to mess you up, and to say, you know what? I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. He's changing my life. You think these guys, how do they go from being running scared to standing up in front of 3,000 people the next week? I mean, what's happening here? They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He's empowering them. They're receiving the Holy Spirit, and they're walking in a new boldness, a new revelation of God's love in their life. See, when I receive the Spirit of God inside of me, it helps me become the person he's creating me to be. It changes me. It empowers me. The Holy Spirit heals me. Pastor, I'm afraid if I let God's Spirit fill me, it will make me weird. Let me tell you this. God's got enough weird people already. He's not looking for any more. Some of you are like, Pastor, do you know my family? Don't look at the person next to you. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm saying is this Holy Spirit's not coming to make you weird. He's coming to fill you with his Holy Spirit, to empower you to be his witness. He wants to empower you to be the witness he's called you to be. When he steps into your greatest fear, he looks at Chuck and says, Chuck, I'm filling you, and you're going to be my witness. And people say, look at Chuck. I remember when he had a mullet and played with spandex on in the 80s. But now he's here. He's worshiping God with his talents. The presence of God's all over him. He's a changed man. What's happening? The Holy Spirit's filled Chuck's life. He's never going to be the same. He looks at Jim and says, Jim, I remember the person you used to be. And people say, what happened to Jim? He's a changed man. It's the Holy Spirit that's filled his life and changed his life. He is changing us. They look at Tim and say, Tim, what are you doing, man? I know that guy. He sold me my car, and I heard about him. No, the Holy Spirit's changing his life. He's not the same person he used to be. He's not perfect, but God's Spirit's empowering him. As you're allowing God to change you, his Spirit will empower you to be the witness he's calling you to be. It's a great thing. He shows up in our midst, speaks peace over to us. He meets us in our greatest fear. He shows us his love, and that he fills us, and he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Today, as we close, I want to show you a video that I've used this video before several years ago, about 5 years ago, so I know the majority of you haven't seen this video before. But the song that talks about a son who's longing for his father's love, and he goes through looking for his father's love in his life and never quite gets his father's love. He feels so empty, and he feels so deserted, and he has a God encounter at this funeral of his dad, who he never won the love of. I think it speaks to you and I today to how much God really loves us and how he's wanting for us to encounter his love. They had that God moment where he shows up in your greatest fear. He shows up in the part of your heart that's locked away, and he reveals just how much he loves us. Watch this video this morning.
He can't remember the times that he thought, does my daddy love me? Probably not. But that didn't stop him from wishing that he did. Didn't keep him from wanting or worshiping him. Guesses he saw him about once a year, He can still feel the way he felt standing in tears, stretching his arms out as far as they'd go and whispering, "Dad, I want you to know I love you this much, and I'm waiting on you to make up your mind. Do you love me too? However long it takes, I'm never giving up, no matter what. I love you this much." He grew to hate him, but he had done is what kind of father could do that to his son. He said, "Damn your daddy," the day that he died. The man didn't blink, but the little boy cried. "I love you this much, and I'm waiting on you to make up your mind. Do you love me too? However long it takes, I'm never giving up, no matter what. I love you this much." Halfway through the service, while the choir sang a hymn, he looked up above the preacher and he sat and stared at him. And he said, "Forgive me, Father," when he realized that he hadn't been unloved or alone all his life. His arms were stretched out as far as they'd go, nailed to the cross for the whole world to know. "I love you this much, and I'm waiting on you to make up your mind. Do you love me too? However long it takes, I'm never giving up, no matter what. I love you this much."
Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. As we learn this morning, Father, your love for us is so great. Even when we locked off our heart and said, "I won't love again," and even when we locked off our heart and said, "I won't trust again," God, you show up in the middle of our hurt. You show up in the middle of our fear, middle of our closed doors, and you come knocking at our heart's door, just as you are this morning. So with every head bowed and eyes closed this morning, I just want to ask you this question. I won't embarrass you one bit, but I want to give you a chance just to respond to what the Holy Spirit may be speaking to your life today, which simply is this. If you say, "Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I've never accepted Jesus Christ before, and today I'm ready to pray that prayer in my heart and accept Jesus Christ." Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago and say, "Pastor, today I want to come back. I haven't lived for God in a long time, and today I want to come back and just renew my commitment to Jesus Christ." No one's looking but me, but can that's you today? Can you just raise your hand and say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus today"? Can you just raise your hand? Let me know it's you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Raise it high. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's my day, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? I'm going to ask one last time. If you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now. Say, "Today's my day. Today's my day." Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. Those of you who raise your hands, and as Christians, we're going to say it along with you out loud. Please repeat after me and say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams. I give to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say, welcome to the family of God, man. This is awesome. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, I'm going to invite you to stop by our information center in the back. We got a free Bible for you as our gift for you today. Inside that Bible, you're going to find a lot of material that tells you what to do next in your journey. It's just the beginning. Okay, it's not the ending. It's the beginning of a new journey that God wants you to embark on, where you learn to get connected to His body that He calls the church. And you get connected to a group of people who can love you, support you. So if you don't have a home church, we would love to have you here and be connected and allow us to just encourage you. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. As you stand on your feet, how many say today, Pastor, I want to learn today. I want to learn to let God come into my closed doors. I want to learn to see His love. I want to learn to receive His peace. Does this message speak to anybody today? Raise your hand. But as you say, Pastor, this spoke right to me today. Yeah, several hands. I'm going to invite us today, those of you who would like to, join me in the front as we close the song that talks about the presence of God. We're going to come to the front. We're going to worship. I love the words of this song because the words of the song are so powerful. Look at the first verse of the song. It says, found in your hands. We just talked about that. The holes in His hands. The holes in His hands. Look what it says. Found in your hands are fullness of joy. It says that He stretched out His hands toward them. It says they were immediately filled with joy. See, found in your hands are fullness of joy. Every fear that they've been hiding away, it says they're suddenly wiped away. Where? In God's presence. Make room for those coming in the back, guys. Scoot on in if you can. That's fine. Great. Let's sing it to the Lord today and say, God, in your presence, I am set free.
Found in your hands the fullness of joy. Every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, and all of my gains now fade away. Every crown no longer on display. Here in your presence, here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new.
All things have passed away.
Here in your presence, everything bows before you.
I invite you one more time. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Father, I pray as our hands are lifted, that God, right now, you are stepping into the middle of our closed hearts. You're stepping in the middle of our locked places. And God, you are unlocking those doors of fear in our life. You're unlocking those doors of doubt, and you're allowing the love of our Savior to come shining through. You're allowing the peace that only He gives to come shining through in our life. God, you are doing something right here. Even as I pray right now, I see a blanket of peace that's just flowing among your people this morning. God, you are unlocking hearts right now. We're letting you into those places because you're showing up, and we see your hands stretched toward us. We see your nail-scarred hands that are showing us how much you love us. And we receive your words today of peace. We receive your words today of peace over our life. And we receive the feeling of your Holy Spirit as breathing in our hearts today. God, I thank you, God, that you are changing us. You're changing our sound. Help us to hear those words this week, the love of our Savior. And we bless you together. Now, put your hands together. Say, God, I love you. And I agree with that spirit today. Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Bless the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. We bless your name together, Lord. Today, before you leave, turn to give someone a big high five. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. If you're coming to the newcomers' dinner tonight, we'll see you at 6 o'clock. God bless you.